Jason Hirschhorn from Sports on Earth joins us. Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you coming on. For you, what was the most important acquisition by a team this offseason in the NFL?
Well, it'd be hard for us to limit it to just one, but I feel pretty confident it's one of the moves that the Philadelphia Eagles made, because they pretty much changed an entire roster around. You know, it wasn't just trading away LeSean McCoy for Kiko Alonso. It wasn't just acquiring Sam Bradford, but it's really a rare situation where you see a team that, you know, granted didn't make the playoffs, but they won 10 games, so dramatically make over the roster. If I'm going to pick one, I guess Bradford, because he's a quarterback, but there's a ton of options there.
You know, it's interesting that, yeah, quarterback, I guess. Where do you stand on Bradford?
Well, I mean, he didn't look great for the majority of his career with the Rams, but you have to factor this in as well. His coordinator for the vast majority of that time was Brian Schottenheimer, by all, pretty much the most conservative play caller in the NFL on offense, and that really hindered what Bradford could do. The one year that he was actually pretty good, or at least looked like he was going to be a very good quarterback, was his rookie year. His offense coordinator at that time was Pat Shurmur, the offense coordinator he's going to have in Philadelphia, also with Chip Kelly. It's going to be an offense that's geared in many of the same ways the offense at Oklahoma was geared, and that could help him finally break out. But again, he could have to stay healthy. That offensive line is going to need to keep him upright, and there's all sorts of questions there because they've, you know, remade that unit as well.
Jason, do you believe the Eagles are the class of the NFC East so far on paper?
No, not that it would surprise me if they won that division, but I still have to feel Dallas. You know, if Dez Bryant is there and looks like that contract is going to happen before the deadline later this month, then, you know, that running game is still going to be pretty good because that offensive line is so dominant. It is the best run-blocking offensive line in the league. Tony Romo is going to be healthy. I think that offense is going to be very good. And that defense is going to improve as well. So I feel like that's the team to beat in the NFC East. But it wouldn't surprise me. I don't think it would surprise a lot of people if the Eagles did manage to win the division this year.
Is there pressure on Jason Garrett if the Cowboys don't have a good season?
Well, he very recently signed an extension, so I don't think he's in danger of being fired. But, I mean, I guess that the season went poorly enough. If instead of competing for a division crown, they instead finished at, like, 5-11, then, yeah, maybe there would be a lot of pressure on him. But I think because of the way they played last season, especially with the lack of defensive playmakers and them succeeding anyway, I think he has enough rope that he can get through this year almost any way that the record turns out.
The Jacksonville Jaguars made significant moves on the defensive side of the ball. Guys who can likely, you know, from Audric and Scuda and Brown and House, who can come in right away. And then, of course, Julius Thomas on the offensive side. How much better are the Jags? Are they a team that could actually contend for a playoff spot?
I really don't think so. And, you know, they did bring in some big players, as you mentioned, but I'm not sure how well they're going to be able to utilize a lot of those talents. You know, Julius Thomas is one of the most dangerous tight ends, but we don't know how good that quarterback is. And just as importantly, we don't know how good the offensive line is going to be. It was dreadful last year. The left side of that line in particular was very poor. I don't know how it's going to improve. They're going to rely on Luke Jokel at left tackle. He has been borderline disastrous. They spent the second overall pick on him, and they signed Jeremy Purnell to the biggest contract of any right tackle in the league. I'm not sure that he's deserving of being a starter, let alone the biggest contract for the position, and there's a lot of question marks there. If they're not going to be able to protect their quarterback, and if their quarterback isn't going to play well regardless, I don't know how much Julius Thomas is going to matter, and then I don't know how much their defensive improvements are going to matter.
A lot of fantasy guys are wondering, okay, so Julius Thomas, obviously, when he doesn't have Peyton Manning throwing to them, you know, that would decrease his value. What about Jimmy Graham, who goes from Drew Brees to Russell Wilson?
Well, I think Jimmy Graham is going to be very successful as long as he stays healthy, because even though that offensive line has never been great during Russell Wilson's tenure there, his mobility and his ability to sense pressure has kept him upright and allowed him to make plays. Having a guy like Jimmy Graham, who excels not just working over the middle, but on broken plays, I think is going to really help. So, you know, it's a step down from Drew Brees somewhat. I'm not sure it's actually that much. But I think because he's going to be featured, and I think because of just how good he is, he's in line for a good season.
Jason Hirschhorn from Sports on Earth joins us talking a little bit of NFL and sticking with the Seahawks and that NFC West. The San Francisco 49ers have had a very interesting offseason. I think they're due for a step back in this upcoming season. Which team, either the Cardinals or the Rams, do you think can possibly dethrone the Seahawks at the top of that division?
Well, if you're going to pick one of those, you'd probably say the Cardinals, because they were a playoff team last year, and they're going to have Carson Palmer back. If you remember, prior to that ACL tear, he was playing maybe not as well as any other quarterback in the league, but he wasn't far off. That offense was performing at a very high level, and that defense was performing great. But then again, Todd Bowles, the genius of that unit, is gone. He's the head coach at the Jets now. I think that's going to hurt them, even though they returned some players from injury. So we'll have to see how that overall balances out. But I think they're in a good position to compete for the NFC West. The Rams, I love that defense. It's so strong, especially up front. The secondary has made small tweaks and improvements, and you can expect some of those players to get a little better. But we have to wonder what that offense is going to be. I mean, Brian Schottenheimer is gone, and we discussed earlier how conservative he is and how he held that team back. But at the same time, this is an untested play caller coming in to replace him, and it's a new quarterback, and we don't know how many games Gurley, their top pick in this year's draft. You know, if he starts week one, they're in a pretty good position. If maybe they have to start him on the PUP where he misses at least the first 6 weeks, it's a little dicier. If they have everything going for them in terms of the play caller figures it out, and they have Todd Gurley for, you know, near the full season, I think they also are going to have a chance because of how good that defense is.
Jason, you mentioned Todd Bowles, former architect of the Cardinals defense. He's now the head coach in New York for the Jets. What'd you make of the offseason the Jets had? They're always loud. They're always boisterous. They're always out there speaking their mind. Todd Bowles seems like he's the anti-Rex Ryan. What'd you think of the Jets offseason?
Well, let's start with the Bowles hire. That was, to me, the best head coach hire of the entire offseason. I mean, he's been ready to be a head coach for several years now. I don't know why he hasn't gotten a chance before 2015. I think he's going to be a very, very good mesh for what the talent they have there. I mean, if you look at that defensive line, they have arguably one of the best three-man fronts in the league, if not the best three-man front in the league. They're adding Leonard Williams, top 10 pick from this year's draft. The linebackers aren't quite as good, but he didn't have great linebackers in Arizona. That didn't stop him from producing a great defense. And that secondary, you know, had Darrell Revis and Antonio Cromartie. They've made all of those adjustments. I think it's going to be a great unit. Then you look at the offensive side. It's a little dicier, and that tends to be the case with New York. I mean, they don't really know how that quarterback situation is going to work out. You know, Geno Smith doesn't look that great going into his third year. I don't know what kind of production they're going to get. But that defense might be good enough, and if Tom Brady ends up missing those four games that he's currently set to miss, there's an opportunity there because of how good that defense is and just how aggressive Todd Bowles is as a defensive coach.
Jason Hishorn joins us from Sports on Earth. We're having a little NFL chat. I'm not sure if there is any team that's ever had to endure an offseason like the 49ers, guys just retiring. Harbaugh left, and it was pretty much last guy off the ship. And I'm not sure it's a direct correlation. Clearly some players were worried about their long-term health, and that's why they retired. What do you make of the 49ers, and can they win six games this year?
I think they can win six games, but I'm not sure they're going to win many more than that, if any more. There are some things that changed that I think we're going to benefit them. Colin Kaepernick, if you look how he played in 2012 when they went to the Super Bowl, in 2013 when they made the NFC Championship game, he was allowed to move out of the pocket. There was a lot of read option, a lot of movement, and they got away from that in 2014. And one of the things that Jim Tomsula has said he's going to do is bring the offense back to when it was its best. So if they're going to be able to unleash Colin Kaepernick the way they did during his best years, that offense is going to be a lot better. At the same time, we look at that offensive line that's lost plenty of players. As you mentioned, some of the players who retired, Antonio Davis, it's a little dicey there, or Anthony Davis, excuse me. On the defense, they've lost even more players to retirement and just to free agency. I don't know how great that unit is going to be. You know, it had to be one of the best units over the last 5 years, but it really fell off last year, and then there's this talent drain. So if it's a league average, maybe they have a chance to win seven, maybe eight games. But if it's not, you're talking, about six wins.
And what's your thoughts on the Arizona Cardinals? Last year obviously took a big step. Are they a team that's a playoff team in your eyes, and could they be a real contender?
Well, I still think the Seahawks are the class of that division. So you're looking at who are they going to compete with for a wild card spot. I think the Minnesota Vikings are going to take some big steps this year. I wouldn't be surprised if they take one of those spots. They're talking about, you know, who doesn't win the NFC East at that point. Are they going to be better than the Eagles or the Cowboys, whoever comes in second? It's close. You know, I mean, obviously injuries are going to change the way we view all these teams, you know, as the season rolls along. But I think it's going to be close. Like last year where, you know, once, especially after Carson Palmer went down, they just weren't the same team. You saw the offense somewhat fall apart, and the defense started to, you know, fall apart as well just because of overuse. I wouldn't be surprised if they're somewhere between that part of the team and the team they were prior to the Carson Palmer injury. That's a team that is going to be in that 6-7 playoff spot debate. I'm not sure whether they make it or not. It's going to be close.
And lastly, do you think Brady sits out 4 games, 2 games, no games, 1 game?
I have a really hard time believing that Roger Goodell, who didn't officially hand down the 4-game suspension, but you know was, you know, part of that discussion and was behind that thought process, is going to completely remove the 4 games. I think 2 games sounds like a nice compromise from the NFL's perspective, because they know if it's, you know, 3-4 games, whatever, Tom Brady and, you know, his camp are going to sue the league in federal court. So 2 games might be enough where Brady says, okay, it's not great, but fine. I'll still be able to play 14 games. My team won't be, you know, that far in the hole, and they just move on. I think that seems like the reasonable compromise, but the NFL isn't always reasonable in these situations.
That's probably going to be the most interesting storyline to follow. You know, do I think the Patriots, or Brady specifically, won because of the balls? No. Do I think the NFL overreacted? Yes. Do I think they will back down? That's going to be the interesting one to watch and wait and see. Jason, appreciate your time.
Yeah, anytime, guys.